أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله، فإن أحصرتم فما استيسر من الهدي، ولا تحلقوا رؤوسكم حتى يبلغ الهدي محله، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو به أذى من رأسه ففدية من صيام أو صدقة أو نسك، فإذا أمنتم فمن تمتع بالعمرة إلى الحج فما استيسر من الهدي، فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج وسبعة إذا رجعتم، تلك عشرة كاملة، ذلك لمن لم يكن أهله حاضر المسجد الحرام. واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله، فإن أحصرتم فما استيسر من الهدي، ولا تحلقوا رؤوسكم حتى يبلغ الهدي محله، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو به أذى رأسه ففدية من صيام أو صدقة أو نسك، فإذا أمنتم فمن تمتع بالعمرة إلى الحج فما استيسر من الهدي، فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج وسبعة إذا رجعتم، تلك عشرة كاملة، ذلك لمن لم يكن أهله حاضر المسجد الحرام. واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله، فإن أحصرتم فما استيسر من الهدي، ولا تحلقوا رؤوسكم حتى يبلغ الهدي محله، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو به أذى من رأسه ففدية من صيام أو صدقة أو نسك، فإذا أمنتم فمن تمتع بالعمرة إلى الحج فما استيسر من الهدي، فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج وسبعة إذا رجعتم تلك عشرة كاملة ذلك لمن لم يكن أهله حاضر المسجد الحرام واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Afterwards inshallah we are going to proceed with our exegesis and the explanations on how to pronounce the words of the glorious Quran, its connotations, knowing the specific moral meanings behind the verses, interpretational meanings which affect the state of its sentences, its formation, and its sequences. If you could recall, we are still on verse 195 to verse 196. Specifically, verse 196. Of the second chapter, Surah Al-Baqarah, where the verse is unto the discussion about the concept of pilgrimage, where it classifies the aspect of pilgrimage into two categories. There is Al-Hajj and there is Al-Umrah. The major pilgrimage and the minor one. The minor one is the one that is just as normal visitation. When you visit to the sanctuary, to the haram, the procession that you are to perform when you visit the haram, those are the processions of the minor pilgrimage, which would happen at any circumstance. As for the Hajj, it is only performed once in a in the month of Zulhijjah. Only 10 days in the year that are dedicated for the major pilgrimage. In our previous session, we went on to the discussion about the differences between Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah, the minor one and the major one. What are the differences? The key differences. In the last two sessions, we clarified the protocols, the differences in the procedures. And in the just recent session, we were discussing whether it is mandatory, as how the major one is mandatory or not. We mentioned the exegesis given by Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir bin Abdullah al-Sa'di in his book Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman fi tafsir kalam al-Madinan regarding the first sentence وَأَتِمُوا الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. He clearly says that both are mandate, both are obligated. Majority of the righteous predecessors and the scholars, they considered Umrah to be mandatory, as how the Hajj, the major pilgrimage, is mandatory upon every believer. So what the mandate differs with other forms of mandatory. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the interpretation of his messengers, particularly the interpretation of the messenger, the final messenger, the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam specified, لِمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, to the one that is capable, to the one that is capable, the one that possesses the root of capability to that, if you are having the means, because these issues requires some financial backup, because it requires transportation, accommodation, and also dieting. It requires spirit, like a consumption, food consumption. So, you see, it requires some financial support. And it is based on the package that you subscribe for. Some of the countries give their estimation for this year's Hajj package. Some of the countries, they have commission for the issue of Hajj, for the pilgrimage. Some you would see around $6,000 or $7,000. You see, it is not just a simple amount for each and every individual. Some would find it a negligible amount, while someone will get it as a burden amount, burdensome, based on someone's preference. And you know, like the status of our economy and our finance is not quite decent. So that's the reason why there is need for uplifting the standard of living of our communities in order for them to have an access, to have the istiqa', one of their obligations, one of their religious obligations. It is also a trial that God decided to design within the faith in order to boost your energy, But it shouldn't be a long term. Should be productive to seek for sustenance, to be financially buoyant, to be financially standard, so that you can clear all the bills, any bill that come onto your way, any bill that come, clear it and pass. That would be the life of sustainability. And sometimes you need to manage. You have some priorities. So you need to scale the priorities. If you are to subscribe for some higher package, then if you are not well in management, financial management, then that would interface with order, needs and wants. You need to be wise in this kind of matters. You need to have good moral financial management and be highly productive. That would help you to attain to those obligations. Allahumma musta'an. It is a mandate, all of us are mandate according to one's status, according to your position, financial position, according to your health status. According to your job position, maybe you have the means, you have the financial means, you have the, you are healthy enough to withstand the processions of the pilgrimage, but you don't have enough time. Maybe you will not get the leave, you will not get the leave to opt for pilgrimage. Because it takes some days, for example. It's not every organization or institution or company that can give leave of much days to their employees or staff members or their officials. So ensure you have the time, you have the financial means, and you are healthy enough to withstand that, because it requires so much exercises, circumambulating the Kaaba, as-Safa wal-Marwa, some workout between Safa and Marwa. Like for the major Hajj, for example, major pilgrimage, you need to walk from the Haram down to Muzdalifa, from Muzdalifa to, like from Arafah to Muzdalifa, for example, going to Mina, Al-Yam Mina. And that's why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered it as a strive and struggle. So, majority of the righteous predecessors, they considered Umrah as a mandate similar to the position of the major pilgrimage. That is Al-Hajj. So yesterday we mentioned about the qira'at of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in his manuscript. The qira'ah وأتم الحج والعمرة لله إذ وأقيم الحج وأتم الحج والعمرة لله وأقيم الحج والعمرة للبيت وأتم الحج والعمرة لله عند وانس كريست عبد الله بن مسعود As we mentioned, it's waqim al-hajj wal-umrah lil-bayt. And that riwayah, that qira'ah, gave a hint with regards to the differences between the major pilgrimage and the minor one. So because if we consider the qira'ah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, ibn Ummi Abdi, as we know, the credibility, the accreditation given to Ibn Mas'ud by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is an authentic hadith. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have said, مَنْ سَارَهُ أَنْ يَقْرَعَ الْقُرْآنَ غَدًّا طَرِيًّا كَمَا أُنْزِلَ فَلْيَقْرَعَهُ عَلَى قراءة ابن أم عبد. Whenever I want to recite the scripture as how it was revealed in its delicacy, in its pure format, let the person recite or read according to the mode of recitation of Ibn Ummi Abdi. That is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Ummi Abdi was a nickname given to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So the Rasulullah gave the credibility certification to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that if you want to read the Quran in its delicate, in its delicacy, in its pure format, let you read according to the mode of recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So in this particular verse, the modern recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is وَاقِيمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلْبَيْتِ instead of وَاقِيمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And that's the reason why this era is also accepted. So within this modern recitation, Ibn Ummi Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, وأقيم الحج والعمرة للبيت. You can also derive the differences between the Hajj and the Umrah. Clearly, everyone knows that they are different. But there are some certain differences which can help us to capture some lessons. So if we consider the mode of recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, وَاقِيمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلْبَيْتِ established the major pilgrimage and the minor one to the sanctuary. In reference to the other mode of recitation, وَاتِمُ الْحَجَّ. So if we replace وَاقِيمُ with وَاتِمُ to the mode of recitation of Ibn Abbas and that of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, then we consider that both the major one and the minor one are to be accomplished, are to be completed within the century. And that's why you see, even for the Hajj, the major one, after accomplishing the Hajj, After completion the tahleel, you shave your head after all the procession. In the pilgrimage mosque, return back to the sanctuary in order to do the tawaful ifada. So this indicating that the procession is completed within the sanctuary, at the sanctuary. That is wa'atim. That is one of the means of wa'atim. And it's also consistent with wa'atim. So majority of the righteous predecessors, they consider Umrah as a mandate, as compulsory, as far as you have the means. Maybe you don't have an amount equivalent to $6,000 or $7,000, but you have 50% of it. So instead of subscribing for Hajj party, you can also go for the Umrah package, which is half of that, or quarter to that. Like how you opt for other tourism packages or other trips or packages. So that's on your preference. But at least within your lifetime, try as much to perform your religious obligation. That is the pilgrimage. Also, Ibn Abbas was reported to have said, "Al-Umrah wajibatun kawjub al-hajja man istata'a ilayhi sabila." He said, "Al-Umrah wajibatun kawjub al-hajj man istata'a ilayhi sabila." Umrah is compulsory. Like the compulsory of the major pilgrimage to the one who possesses capability in that, to the one who possesses the root capability in that, to the one who possesses the capability root in that, meaning a person is having the financial means, the person is healthy enough, and the person has enough time for that, then it is a mandate upon the person. Like how it is in terms of the major pilgrimage, that is al-Hajj. And that saying of Ibn Abbas was narrated by Imam al-Bayhaqi in Sunan al-Kubra. Also Imam al-Hakim mentioned that statement of Ibn Abbas in al-Mustadrak. Likewise, Imam Dar-Qutni. Also Ibn Abd ibn Humayl. Also Abd al-Razzaq in his Musannad. He mentioned about the saying of Ibn Abbas. It was one of the statements of Ibn Abbas. I think I mentioned that yesterday. We mentioned that Allah innaha laqarinataha fi kitabillah. He said, "I see. It is a partner to the major pilgrimage as how it came in the book of God. As how it arrived in the scripture, as how it is in the scripture. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ." He mentioned, he quoted that particular verse. So he said it is an associate to, it is a partner to the major pilgrimage. I think I did not mention this saying of Ibn Abbas yesterday. There was a statement of Ibn Abbas that I mentioned yesterday, which is similar to this particular statement. Because for this author of Ibn Abbas, it's mentioned by Imam Bayhaqi in Sunan al-Kubra. Likewise, that statement of Ibn Abbas was also reported in Sunan al-Kubra. But specifically Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah narrated that Azraq of Ibn Abbas and likewise Sufyan ibn Uyayna. There was a saying of Masruf regarding the exigencies of this particular verse, which he says that أمرت في الإسلام أو في القرآن بإقامة أربعين. You were commanded in the scripture to establish four parameters, to establish four pillars. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقيموا الحج والعمرة. I also quoted this author, this saying of Masruq in the previous session, that to establish the prayer and to give out charity and to establish the major and the minor pilgrimage, like the sign of the Almighty. الذين أمكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور. And here the Almighty mentioned وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله وأقيموا الحج والعمرة للبيت على حسب قراءة ابن أمي عبد ابن أمي مسعود عبد الله بن مسعود. Also there was a saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas, which differentiated the position of the major pilgrimage and the minor one, whereby he stated Al-Umratu Al-Hajjatu Sadra. Umrah is the minor hajj, so it is one of the origin. Why? We translate Al-Umrah بمعنى a minor pilgrimage. See that? Interpretation of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said Al-Umrah Al-Hajjah Al-Sugra. Umrah is a minor hajj. It's a small form of pilgrimage. Also there was an interpretation regarding this matter of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. When he recited with his one mode of recitation, وَأَقِيمُوا الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلْبَيْتِ, whereby he mentioned, if not of disturbances, if not of disputes, I would have said that Umrah is compulsory, similar to the Hajj. You know, everyone knows that Hajj is compulsory. But the reason why some people get it confused is because Umrah is not mentioned in that particular hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, where Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the pillars of the religion. Dunya al-Islam ala khamsin. شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت. So you see Umrah is not mentioned, but Umrah is mentioned indirectly, because like in this particular verse, the final chapter, it was revealed to the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, سورة البقرة, Almighty amalgamated الحج والعمرة وأتموا الحج والعمرة وأتموا الحج وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله. فمن اللي أعتقال like the togetherness of the prayer and the charity. If you establish prayer, then you should ensure that you are giving the charity. If I give you charity, try as much to establish prayer. So likewise, recently there was a question that was forwarded to the Mufti of Taiba, Mufti of Medina, Sheikh Saleh Al-Suhaimi, where a questioner asked him about the concept or the model of attamattu. Yesterday we mentioned there are basically two forms of pilgrimage. There is attamattu, which was mentioned clearly in this particular verse. من تمتع بالعمرة إلى الحج فما استيسر من الحج. التمتع, meaning doing the Umrah and the Hajj. And also there is Qiran, which was clearly explained by Imam Malik in his Magnum Opus book Al-Muwatta. He digested all the modes of the pilgrimage. He discussed about Al-Tamattu and also Al-Qiran. So the question that was asked to the Mufti of Taiba, Mufti of Medina, just listen, is about taking the pilgrimage, taking the ihram. Suppose if the person made the tawaf al-ifada, for example, suppose the person accomplished the procession of Hajj and he wants to perform Umrah. Shall the person take another ihram besides the ihram that he has already taken? So the question was regarding ihram and particularly regarding at-tawaf, the site manipulation. Previously we discussed about the three circumambulation that are required for the procession of the major pilgrimage: tawaf al-udum, tawaf al-ifada, and tawaf al-wada, tawaf al-wida, tawaf al-wida, the farewell tawaf. So these are the basic three times of circumambulation, the tawaf that a pilgrimer must do in order to accomplish the Hajj. So the question that was forwarded, or the case that was reported to the Mufti, Mufti of Taiba, Mufti of Medina, is that هل المتمتع طواف قدوم, is it responsible for the person that opt for at-tamattu, doing the Hajj and then performing the Umrah? Is the person has to do tawaf qudum again? That's the arriving circumambulation. You know, the more you arrive to Haram, the first thing that you are required to do is to perform tawaf qudum. Just like the usual tahiyyat al-masjid. When you arrive to any of the mosques, what you are supposed to begin with is to do tahiyyat al-masjid. So likewise, when you arrive to the haram, first thing that you are to do is tawaf al-qudum. So if you are opting for at-tamattu, doing Hajj and together with Umrah, after completing the Hajj you are going to do the Umrah. So already you have taken, or the person has taken the ihram and has done tawaf al-qudum. The circumambulation for arrival is the person has to perform another tawaf al-qudum. So the Mufti responded and issued a fatwa that the person is not to perform tawaf al-qudum as far as he remained in Mecca. You mentioned that if you accomplish tawaf al-wida, مضاف الإفاضة. You can proceed further with some visitation. You see, as how the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, used to travel to Medina and other places and Quba after completion their procession of Hajj. So, if the person stay in the Haram, not a bit out of the Haram for any matter, for any visit, or for any business issue, or any other matter. So the person remains at the Haram, there is no need of the person to perform the Tawaf al-Qudum. And that's how it is. And most especially for the people of Mecca. As for them, they don't require any Umrah. We'll get to discuss on that. But if the miqat of the person is from the Haram, the person has taken his ihram at Mecca, and after completing the procession of Hajj, the person has to remain in the Haram. But if he went out and he come back, he must take another ihram, and beginning with the Tawaf al-Qudum. Tawaf al-Qudum. So there is no Tawaf al-Qudum to the one that is going to perform at Tamattu after completion the procession of Hajj. That was the fatwa. Just of a reason. Wallahu musta'an. So besides that, there might be an issue. So suppose a person began with Umrah, and he made a tawaf for his Umrah, and the ayam al-awwal min shahr al-hijja arrived, the days of the Hajj. If the person has to perform the tawaf al-qudum again, or he would consider that tawaf that he performed as tawaf al-qudum. So in this regard, as for the minor pilgrimage that the person performed, that is a separate issue. For the minor pilgrimage, it has specific processions. Need to restart the tawaf. You have to take another ihram. That's one of the opinions, one amongst the opinions of the scholars with regards to the Hajj. Likewise, it is for subscribing for the Hajj package. Usually there are some options. This is the development to me. Are you going to do tamattu or qiran? All these are separated. The Hajj Commission knew about this matter. They guide people on this. Wallahu musta'an. So going back to our discussion, there was also opinion of Abdullah ibn Umar. That indicates the compulsory of the Umrah. Where Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned that Al-Umrah wajibatun laysa ahadin min khalq illahi illa alayhi hajjatun wa umrah. لا عليه حجة وعمرة واجبتان من استطاع إلى ذلك سبيلا. That was the saying of عبد الله بن عمر. These are the scholars of Exodus during the time of the Sahaba. Full of knowledge in terms of religious matters. He stated, Al-Umratu wajibatu. Umrah is mandate. is compulsory. ليس أحد من خلق الله. There is no one among the God's creators إلا عليه حجة وأمرة. Except that there would be on the person, there would be an obligation for a major and minor pilgrimage on the person. As far as you are human, pilgrimage is a mandate upon you. He said, "Wajibatani man istata ila dhalika sabila." Both are mandatory. Both are mandatory. Man istata ila dhalika sabila. To the one that possesses capability would on that. The capability is that which I mentioned. Having enough time for that, financial standard and health standard. So that's saying of Ibn Umar was reported by Imam al-Hakim, and he confirmed the authenticity of that other of Abdullah ibn Umar. Also Abd ibn Humayr narrated that. Also Ibn Abi Shayba narrated that. Also Abd al-Razzaq in his Musannaf, he narrated that author of Abdullah ibn Umar. Also there was one opinion of Tawus. You know Tawus? Among the greatest scholars of jurisprudence and likewise exegesis. He said, "Al-umratu ala al-nasi kulluhu illa ala ahli Makkah." Umrah is upon all people. All people are responsible for Umrah, except the people of Mecca. فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أُمْرَةٌ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقْدِمَ أَحْدٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِنْ أُفْقٍ مِّنَ الْآفَاقِ. For because there is no Umrah to the dwellers of Mecca. The Mecca settlers, there is no Umrah upon them, except the person is arriving from one locus, from a global locality. Maybe the person is from the dwellers of Mecca, but the person travels to another place, or to another country, or to another nation, or to another place. When the person is returned, when the person is returned back to Mecca, in that case, there is Umrah upon that particular person. But certainly, there is no Umrah on the people of Mecca, except if the person is out of Mecca. Like the person traveled to Jeddah, or the person went to Medina, in Medina. So for the people of Medina, there is Umrah upon them. Like the people of Riyadh, the people of Unayza, Allah Musta'an, and other places within the Mamlaka, Allah Musta'an. So that was the sin of the Tawus, the sin of Tawus, Imam Tawus. And that was reported by Ibn Abi Shayba, also Abd al-Razzaq, and likewise Abd ibn Humayr. There was a similar saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, "Al-Hajj wal-Umratu فريضتان على الناس الشريط الثاني على الناس كلهم إلا أهل مكة فإن عمرتهم طوافه ومن جعل بينه وبين الحرم بطن وال فلا يدخل مكة إلا بالإحرام في سدة والدميج في البرنج الدمائن في البرنج أمن بيتري أمن بيتري أفون في البرنج أمن بيتري أفون on the people على الناس كلهم أو على الناس كلهم. Then he mentioned an exception. He said, "Illa Ahl Makkah." He exempted the people of Mecca. He said, "Except the people of Mecca." In the Umrah, Tawaf. Their Umrah is the Tawaf. The fifth revelation that they are doing habitually. Most of the settlers in Mecca usually use the perform the Tawaf. That is their Umrah. Because they are the people of the sanctuary, so God make it easy for them. Their tawaf is the umrah. They get that ease in terms of religion. Where Ibn Abbas mentioned that فَمَنْ جَعَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْحَرَمِ بَطْنِ وَاهِنْ فَلَا دُخُلَ مَكَّةَ فَلَا دُخُلَ مَكَّةَ إِلَّا بِالْإِحْرَامِ إِلَّا بِالْإِحْرَامِ. Whoever make a full vow, whoever made a settlement between him and the sanctuary, so فَلَا يَدْخُلُ مَكَّةَ إِلَّا بِالْحِرَامِ, such person shall not enter into Mecca except with the requirement, with the ihram of the pilgrimage. With the white cloth, if the person is male, or with the normal cloth, if the person is female. Meaning, if you are now in the place that you are living, have a demarcation of another settlement, there is a locality between you and the Haram, like the people of Ja'arana, the most closest settlement to Mecca. You know, yesterday I quoted one case of one Sahabi, one among the companions of the Rasulullah. He was from the Iran. He asked the Rasulullah about the Umrah because they are so close, the most closest town to Mecca. That is the Iran. That's how it was called, the Iran. To Mecca. So the Rasulullah ﷺ described to the Prophet. Like also the people of Al-Hadar, like the people of Ta'if. The person is from Ta'if. If he is going to enter into Mecca, he must enter with Ihram if the person is intending to do the Umrah. But if the person is from the dwellers of Mecca, Mecca dwellers, no need of taking the Ihram. But the person has to do the طوال. Like the people of Asherah, like the people of Kufayfa, they are living in that area. They are so close to Mecca. So all those, they have to enter into Mecca with Ihram if they are going for Umrah. Like the people of Jeddah also. Like the people of Suwayriya, people of Dumayriya, that somehow somehow closer to Mecca, but far away, like the people of Medina. Medina is so far distance location from Mecca. If you are in Medina and you intend for performing minor pilgrimage, the Umrah, you must enter with Ihram to likewise, all those are nearby settlement to the Haram. A person is within Mecca. You don't have any Umrah. The Umrah of the person is just the Umrah to get into the Haram and perform several rounds of circumambulation. That is your Umrah. Similarly, when you would get, like the person that came from far away distance, to likewise, the people of Ta'if, they are to enter into the sanctuary, they must enter with Ihram for the Tawaf. So that was the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that also Umrah is wajib, is mandatory. You see, most of the people, they offer Hajj while forgetting about Umrah. And the most surprising issue is that you will see a person opting for Hajj, but after accomplishing the Hajj, the person will waste his or her time in performing of Umrah, not to perform the Umrah. You have the chance, for example, to perform the Umrah. So try to maintain the transparency also. Some of the people, they could subscribe for Tamattu or Qiran. They would change their practice after arriving to the sanctuary. Allahumma musta'an. That statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas was narrated by Ibn Abi Shaybah. Was narrated by Ibn Abi Shaybah. Although Imam al-Hakim narrated that saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas. There was a similar saying of Ata' ibn Yasar. There is a similar saying of Ata', which he says that ليس على أهل مكة أمرة إنما يعتمر من زار البيت ليطوف به وأهل مكة يطوفون متى شاء. But there is no أمرة for the people of مكة. The one that is to perform the أمرة نبا يعتمر من زار البيت. To the one that is visiting the sanctuary. If you are a visitor to the sanctuary, then you must perform the Umrah. You are the one that you must perform the Umrah. You are over with for the person to say from late within the sanctuary to make the Tawaf. And he further mentioned وأهل مكة يطوفون متى شاء. The people of Mecca, they are to perform the Tawaf whenever they wish, based on their desires. And that's why someone would think that like the people of Mecca, they don't value the sanctuary. So I would think that they were just wasting their time in their businesses and their marketing in their daily activities, while not knowing that they have their own preference. Because as for them, they don't have Umrah. Whenever a person has a chance, he would just go to the Haram and perform the Tawaf. That was, for that is the Umrah, for the dwellers of Mecca. They enjoy the sanctuary more than any other person. But then, when in the entire people of the blue, long in sky. That sign of the Ata' is that which was narrated by Ibn Abi Shaybah. Ibn Abi Shaybah narrated that. And Zaykari in his Musannaf. You know, Ibn Abi Shaybah has المسند وسوء المسند. اللهم المستعان. So from here we understand that most of the first predecessors, they went on the same God, they went on the opinion God, Ramra is mandate. So from here we understand that Ramra is mandatory. Try to subscribe for Ramra. Try to do the Umrah. If you don't have the standard for the Hajj. إن الدين يسر ولا يشاد هذا الدين إلا غلبه عليه. من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا وهو رد. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. اللهم يريد بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. So darling, very easy. Based on one's capability and ability. Also Ibn Mas'ud was reported to have said, الحج فريدة والعمرة تطوع. Except Ibn Abbas that has the opinion that Umrah is a voluntary pilgrimage. But if I relate with the other statement of Ibn Abbas and the majority opinion of the ulama, then I will consider that Umrah is voluntary to the people of Mecca. But it was a mandate to any person that is from other location of the globe. If you are outside the haram and you are arriving to the haram, then Umrah is mandatory upon you as far as you are having the Umrah standard. As far as you need the Umrah standard. Though there was a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which was supporting the saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, if we relate, that hadith was that which was narrated by Imam al-Shafi'i in his Musnad. Also Abdul Razzaq narrated that hadith. Also Ibn Abi Shayba, Abdul bin Humayd also. رسول الله عليه وسلم mentioned that الحج جهاد والعمرة تطوع. That the major pilgrimage is a striving struggle. It is a major struggle. It is a major striving and struggle. والعمرة تطوع. And Umrah is voluntary act. So that hadith supported the opinion of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So if we relate with other narrations from the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see some differences from the sin of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like that hadith that was narrated or that was cited by Ibn Majah. It's only Ibn Majah. That the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying Al-Hajj jihad min al-umrah tatawwu'. The pilgrimage is striving and struggling. And Umrah is a voluntary act. So from here we can also get to another discussion. As our Rasulullah referred pilgrimage as jihad, it is indicating that this kind of terminology, this kind of concept, it doesn't fulfill the desires of some other individuals. So you should know. It is not always that if a word is utilized that it means the same issue. Always on someone's opinion or selfish desires. If a jihad is mentioned, it doesn't mean fighting or anything related to that. It is just a terminology that has so many meanings. The Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam utilized the word al-jihad to even pilgrimage. For anything that requires hard working. Anything that hardship is included, anything that requires strife and struggle. In Arabic it is considered as jihad. Allahu musta'an. And the verse that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even mentioned, Abdul Jihad, Jihad al Nafsi wa Shaytan. No, there were some embargoes with regards to the Islam. Allahumma musta'an. There was an athar similar to that. The best striving and struggle that you would do is for you to fight your selfish desires, the selfish desires of your heart, of your mind, of your mentality, and the devil in you. So the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred al-Hajj as striving and struggle, and he referred Umrah as voluntary act. So meaning there are some differences. There are so much differences. But in terms of value, in terms of rewards from the side of God, both are equal with due circumstances. There was also a hadith which was narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and he verified the authenticity of that hadith. It's an authentic hadith similar to the previous hadith that I mentioned to us from Sunni Ibn Majah. Which was from the authority of Jabir bin Abdullah. That a man asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Umrah. Awajibatun hiya? Is it a mandate? Is it obligatory? And Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam replied to the man, La wa in ta'atamiru khayrun lakum. No. But if you are to perform the Umrah, that is best for you. Well, that hadith also supported that Umrah is not mandatory as someone can consider it to. Besides the narration of Imam al-Tirmidhi, there was a narration of Abd ibn Humayl, also Ibn Abi Shayba, to that hadith of Jabir bin Abdullah. So also there was hadith which was narrated by Imam al-Hakim from the authority of Zayd ibn Thabit, that the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam on said, إن الحج والعمرة فريضتان فريضتان يدرك بأيهما بدأت. The Hajj and the Umrah both are mandate. Not only have you if you start with any of the both, any of the two. If you wish, you can start with the Umrah and end with the Hajj. Or if you wish, you can start with the Hajj and finish with the Umrah and end to the performance of Umrah, based on your choice. So in that hadith, the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam regarded the Umrah and the Hajj as mandatory. And that riwayah of Ibn Majah clearly mentioned that the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam differentiated the Hajj and the Umrah. Likewise, that riwayah of Imam Tirmidhi of the hadith which was from Jabir bin Abdullah, and the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam answered to that Fatlama. He said directly, Umrah is not wajib. So someone would think that there is contradiction between hadith of Zayd bin Thabit and that of Jabir bin Abdullah. One thing that you should understand, in terms of jurisprudence, there is difference between wajib and al-fardu. Al-wajib and al-fardu. In some matters, if one is mentioned without the order, it carries the meaning of both. For in such, if a matter has been discussed and so many narrations come with different ruling in that matter, one of the narrations come with wajib, another of the narrations come with al-fardu, so we consider the wajib as a mere mandate and the al-fardu to be an absolute mandate. And that's why even what we can understand from the answer given by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Prophet. He said, لا وإن تعتمروا خير لكم. Because the Prophet answered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أهي واجبة not أهي فرض. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا وإن تعتمروا خير لكم. No, but if you are to perform the Umrah, that is best for you. So due to the time constraint, as we haven't started earlier, we shall have a full stop here and we'll continue from this point of clarification in the next session. There was one important point that I said in the last two sessions, regarding the economic benefits within the pilgrimage, within the Hajj. And that economic benefit can be to Mamlaka and also to other nations. And to all humans, they would get the benefit from that One of the common benefits is that there is economy. There is basically economy. It's a source of wealth. Allah musta'an. Because since from the lifetime of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, we understood that the pilgrimage boosts the economy, it boosts the agriculture, because like for example the cattle that have been used for the hadith. It's a kind of benefit for the farms. So it boosts the local economy. For because the arrival or the influx of millions of pilgrims or pilgrims during Hajj season stimulates economic benefit in the host country. Stimulate economic benefit to the mamluk, to the kingdom, which includes spending on accommodation, transportation, food, souvenirs, and other goods and services. So this is one amongst the benefit of the pilgrimage. And most especially to the small businesses, such as local vendors and artisans, often benefit from the increased demand for their products and services. During the Hajj season, most of the pilgrims, meaning the pilgrims, used to go into markets, into shopping malls after completion their ibadah, after completion their manazil. There is also a benefit to small businesses, which can help to grow their customer base, and that would increase their revenues. Also through the pilgrimage, there is job creation, because there is a demand. The more people will settle in a particular area, there will be demand and supply. So the demand for goods and services bearing the Hajj procession or the Hajj seasons create employment opportunities for the local residents. And likewise, you would see some migrants from different countries going there for employment. So that's one of the better aspects of the pilgrimage, the economic benefit. Also, that has influence to hospitality, transportation, and in retail sectors. So many shops that benefit from the pilgrimage. And that has influence also to infrastructural development. Take the haram. If you compare the haram today with the condition in the 80s, 1980s, 1970s, you would see that there is infrastructural development. Because to accommodate the large number of pilgrims, the kingdom often invests in improving infrastructure. That's why always you would see new infrastructural rehabilitation, innovations, and new design buildings. such as expanding the airports. Even the airport in Jeddah and Mina, we see so many rehabilitations, building hotels for the accommodation, and upgrading the transportation networks, the trains, the buses. You see? There is an economic benefit in that aspect also. And since that this issue derives investment into the infrastructure, so there is economic benefit in that. And it would be a long economic benefit. Because the Rasulullah has given an assurance that wallahi ليحجن البيت حتى بعد خروج يعجوج ومأجوج. The pilgrimage to the center would continue even after the emergence of Gog and Magog. After the coming of Gog and Magog, there would be pilgrimage. So you see, it is a long-term investment. There would be continuation in the infrastructure to the time of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Also, that generates tourism revenue, because you would see majority of the, or some, so many numbers of the pilgrims, they used to travel to some other locations to make a ziyarah, to visit some of the historical places, the museums, for example. So because they study the life, biography of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, so that derives tourism revenue for many pilgrims. They choose to extend their stay in the haram, or for example in the sanctuary, or in the kingdom. Some even decided to visit some nearby places, as I mentioned, after completion the Umrah or the Hajj, they would travel to Medina. Some they would travel to Taif. Some even to some other countries that are nearby, like Jordan, Bahrain, Yemen, for example. And today, if we look into the condition of the pilgrimage, there is another financial benefit with regards to the Biroud change, which is foreign exchange earnings. There are many people that was their point of revenue, point of business for many foreigners from different nations arriving to perform the manasik. So they may desire to purchase, to buy or to sell, and in such there might be a desire for currency exchange. So the money spent by pilgrims during the Hajj season contribute to the host country's foreign exchange reserves, and so to the private sectors, like the Biroud change, they benefit also from that. And that can help to strategize and stabilize the economy, and particularly to support the international trade. In terms of international trading, there is a high benefit in the issue of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Also through the Hajj, there is a chance for business promotion, promotion of local businesses. So because the Hajj provides an opportunity for local businesses to showcase their products and services. And the important thing is that there are foreign individuals, foreign people, so they have the chance to promote their businesses to global audience, global people, global community, which could lead to potential partnerships and collaborations with international companies. Somebody who will go to the pilgrimage to derive some economic benefits, to establish partnership, collaborations with other international companies. If not of the rule established by the government of the kingdom, the government of Saudi Arabia, many of the people would be going to the Haram for their political gain, for their political purpose. But in terms of trading businesses, there are so much benefits. Some of the pilgrims used to perform the Hajj, or used to travel for the Hajj in order to derive some economic benefits through that. So that's why you see, whatsoever would be the amount or the price of the Hajj package or the Umrah package, that will not concern some individuals, because they know that they are profiting from that. And there is another point of regard. There would be cultural exchange, because when you go for the pilgrimage, you may end up traveling to some restaurants or some places. You may consume a continental dish, for example, or a continental diet. You would intermingle with different people, so there would be cultural exchange. The interaction between the pilgrims from different countries fosters cultural exchange and understanding. And this can have long-term economic benefits by promoting tourism, trading, and diplomatic relations between countries. Because almost you would experience on the global community in one place. So there is cultural benefit or cultural exchange benefit. And why reviewing the economic benefit? One of the important points that I analyze is the investment opportunities. Because there are large number of communities going for the pilgrimage. So the large number of pilgrims during Hajj season present opportunities for businesses that would give eligibility, a chance to invest in new ventures, new startups, to expand existing operations or even to launch marketing campaigns, because you would have direct audience, direct customers. So the investment opportunities within the heads can lead to economic growth and diversification. Diversification in the host country. So much. I think most of the famous global restaurants, you will see them in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Most of the global companies, industries, you will find them. And that is something that has to do with the Hajj season. It has relation with the Hajj season. So many pilgrims, they used to invest in that country, because one of the peaceful, most peaceful nations in the globe. As how the Almighty mentioned, أَوْلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيَتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ. Can't you see how we make the sanctuary to be peaceful? And some people nearby have been trying. I've been into tribulations. أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ. So actually the country is very peaceful. And each and every investment person, the person that wants to invest, one of the priorities that a person used to give, or an investor, is to find a peaceful place. And that's the reason why you will see so many startups in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So many companies, so many industries. Also, the Hajj could drive revenue to religious institutions, because some of the pilgrims, they had about Jamiat al-Islamiyah, they had about Jamiat al-Malik Fahd, Malik Salman, all those greater institutions, all great universities. Some of the pilgrims, when they travel to Hajj or for Umrah, they used to visit such institutions. So through that, there would be expansion. So it can be, generate a significant revenue for the religious institutions, such as the masajid, the mosques, the endowment, the charities, and the religious schools, all benefit from the Hajj. And in such indirectly, they can also utilize those dry resources to support their activities and the programs. And that's why you will see the highest publication today are from the Mamlaka publications, always. So much institutional programs. Allah musta'an. So for any place that established a global institution or global program, for any matter of concern to the entire global community, there would be economic benefit in that. Besides the social collaboration, social ties, that the Hajj and the Umrah strengthen. Because people are having so much doubt. Some they think the people of so-so nation, or people of so-so region, or so-so continent, are negative. But when you go for the Hajj, they interact with different communities. They would be able to get rid of those doubts that they had initially. So the communal nature of Hajj fosters a sense of unity and solidarity among the pilgrims, among the pilgrims, which can have positive social and economic impact, economic effects, by promoting cooperation, trust, mutual understanding, and mutual support within communities. So also the issue of finance, like establishing financial institutions or promotion of Islamic finance, is something that originates from the Hajj, or we can say from the issue of Al-Hajj wal Umrah. So some of the people, if you trace back to history, they went for the Hajj and the Umrah. They realized that they experienced the entire global community, the rich and the poor, all sort of individuals, in one place. So they would see that, since then, there would be a point where the entire global community, they would live in one region. The financial institution can be formulated and it can work for the entire global community. You know, today there are so much banks, for example. Think about the World Islamic Bank, think about Jaiz Bank, think about there is Bank for Rajah. All those kind of banks, the religious in nature, which they don't have riba, they don't deal with the issue of riba. Just a pure mode of business, marketing, and trading. Actually, they get originated from all those matters which are related to Hajj. For any person that wants to establish any financial institution which is to be sustained, then there are some factors that a person would think about. So the financial transactions and the investment associated with Hajj can help to promote the principles of Islamic finance. That's the reason why some of the Muslims have that idea of establishing financial institutions, such as ethical investing, profit sharing, and avoiding interest based transactions, which even today there is another concept of zakatability. Some that knows about zakatability, that initiative. So if you reviewed. Yeah, there is so much kind of riga in that. Because for any matter that you want to achieve or you want to establish, that you want it to get sustained, there would be some important factors that you would look for. And for a gathering of thousands, millions of individuals at a certain location, that would help you to get that data that you want to achieve. So much, especially in finance. So whoever that is in finance, he knows the benefit of population. Allah musta'an. So there is one concept, one initiative of zakatability. Some knows about it. Also that kind of initiative, that thought also, I had it from so much people that when acquainted about the matters of Hajj, because these are some of the points being discussed by so many pilgrims related to the issue of zakat. Because zakat is something that has to do with time, and it has limit. For example, there is research. So some of the people were confused with regards to issue of employment. There are some that they are not business or people. They are public servants. So they be having a chance for giving out zakat. If they zakat in their source of income, in their salary or wages. There are so much fatwa of ulama related to the saving of a person from unemployment. Such kind of concept led to those initiatives. Recently, I got one article about the issue of that concept, zakatability. You can ask some of the scholars or some of the people that are away about it. Allahu musta'an. I'm not to discuss about those fatawas or fatawa related to zakat. We are not done with the issue of al-hajj wal-umrah. Brought by this particular verse 196. So for much discussion, we proceed tomorrow, inshallah. Time has gone. Whatsoever we discuss within these few minutes, we ask God the Almighty to reward us in it. And whatsoever that interferes of any erotic saying, we ask God the Almighty also to erase that from our deeds. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين فسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.